our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. We'll start reading together in verse 34. That was a good report on a Lynn. Lynn, are you still talking, are you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Aren't you that aren't smiling, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Look what it costs some to smile. All right, Leviticus 23, and we'll read verses 34 through 36. All right, Leviticus 23, verse 34, and here we go. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles that starts on the 15th of the first civil month, the month that starts off with the blowing of the trumpets, typifies an experience in God past what we have. Now, there were 7 feasts, and the 4th feast was Pentecost. And we know what that means. The first feast was Passover, and we know what that means. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. But now God wants to move us past Pentecost. There is an experience past Pentecost. It is a distinct experience, just as being born again is distinct and receiving the Holy Spirit is distinct. Now, we call ourselves Pentecostal, and if we were going to be consistent, we should call ourselves Tabernacles. But I don't think that that is in the wind, because I think one of the things the Lord wants to do in the day in which we live is to kind of downplay the sectarianism. So we'll just call ourselves Pentecostal, but we'll realize we're going on to the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's good news if you stop to think about it that we don't have it all. Isn't it wonderful to know that God has more for us? Now, this feast lasted for 7 days, a full week, if you'll notice. And you all remember how the Jews had to go outside and they built little huts made out of branches and they stayed in those huts out under the stars, and the point was to remember their history of Israel. Now, the 8th day, notice it says in verse 36, on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation. Now, that 8th day was called the great day of the feast. And when we turn to John 7, verse 37, we find out what Jesus did on that great day of the feast. Now, that's the 8th day. The scholars say John 7:37. The scholars say that the hilarity of the Jews on that day was so great that it bordered on being a rebel. It was, it got out of hand because they just went wild. Because the Feast of Tabernacles came in September. And they had just finished 6 months of drought, Harvey. 6 months. 6 months of drought through the dry summer months. No rain for half a year. And by the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, every crop had been harvested, including the wheat crop, which had been harvested around our Easter time, April or so, March, ripening the barley. And earlier than that, citrus in February, citrus fruit. They had a lot of good stuff in that land of promise. And then through the summer, they grew melons and cantaloupes, vegetables that could grow from subsoil moisture, but they had no rain. So by the time September came, the farming year was not only it was reaped, but the food was processed. The grapes had been squashed into wine, and the nuts were taken care of, and the wheat and all was not only reaped, but processed, winnowed, and all ready to live. But that was one reason for the rejoicing. And another reason for the rejoicing was that they not only were finishing one farming year, but they were getting ready to begin another. And the former rains, or the planting rains that come at the end of September through October, were soon to come. So they were looking forward to rain. So when they were giving praise to God for the things that had happened, and getting ready in anticipation of the coming year, and of course all of us, when we're looking forward to something new, you always figure it's going to be better than what was before. His hope never dies in us. And they were just beside themselves with joy. And the hilarity, the Jews of course had to gather in Jerusalem 3 times a year, once at Passover, once at Pentecost, and then at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were all there, and as the days would go by, each of these 7 days, the spirit of the situation would mount until by the time the 8th day, they were about out of hand. And that was the occasion here in John 7:37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, that is the 8th day, the kingdom-wide. When you think of it as the new heaven and new earth reign, that 8th day represents the 1st day of the week of eternity, the week that has no end. So it represents, the 8th day represents the greatest point of redemption, the omega, the finish, the mark, the fullness, the climax. And in that last day, that great day of the feast, of course, Jesus was standing there watching the priest. Every day the priest had to go down to the pool of Siloam. He had a golden bowl, and he'd fill it with water from the pool of Siloam, and he'd come back to the bronze altar of sacrifice in the temple area. And the priests, the Levites and so on, and I suppose the people too, as they join in, would chant the 12th chapter of Isaiah. And especially the part that says, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And Jesus was standing, taking this all in. And he stood, in verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, and here he is, interrupting the whole procession, and watching this, and saying, if any man thirst, so he's referring to the priest carrying this golden bowl of water from the pool of Siloam. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, when we receive the Holy Spirit on the fulfillment of Pentecost, we are blessed. We receive, hopefully, anointing to bear witness. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come. And I think we're charismatic people. We're Pentecostal people. But God has something more for us. Praise the Lord. God has something more for us than just an anointing or a blessing or to spend our lives from here on till we die wishing things were better. God has an experience in which He wants to fill us not just an anointing of the Spirit, but the fullness. See, this was not the celebration of Pentecost. This was the celebration of tabernacles. And in tabernacles, the Father and the Son come into us. Now, the Holy Spirit only flows from one place. Do you know where that is? The throne of God. No place else. You'll find in Ezekiel's temple that the water flows out from the temple. And in Revelation 22, you'll find that the water of life flows from the throne of God. And God wants us to have more than a blessing. He wants us to be a fountain of water. This will be fulfilled in the church at large in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. But there's a portion today. There's more for us today. And God wants to fill us, and I believe He is moving our minds in this way to see what is possible. Notice what it says, out of His belly. I like that term. Tummy doesn't quite fit. And stomach doesn't quite fit. And abdomen does. As I write, and when I go through this, I look for these synonyms, because belly is kind of an old term. But when you get all said and done, the best term is belly. It somehow, of course, the new translations say inmost being, which is cool, you know. But you can't beat belly for what this is talking about. Praise the Lord. It comes out deeper than your inmost being. It comes out of your belly. I think the Spirit wanted to say inmost being. That's what He just said. Out of His belly shall flow rivers. Rivers. Not a little trickle now and then, but rivers. And those rivers are prophesied in Isaiah. That will come in the last day, when the river shall flow out to the sea, meaning people, the sea in the Bible represents people, and the water shall be healed, and everything that's in the sea shall be healed. That's Ezekiel chapter 47. Everything that's in the sea shall be healed. That's what the Scripture means when it says, the glory of the Lord shall cover the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now the waters, the living waters, are going to come out from God's people and from the temple. And they're going to cover the sea of mankind and cause it to live. That's Isaiah 60. Praise the Lord. Good things are ahead. All right, now, rivers, rivers, rivers. Rivers of living water. That's an experience past what we have. Praise the Lord. That's more than just speaking in tongues, brother. Speaking in tongues is Pentecost. This is tabernacles. Tabernacles. Alright, now of course we'll review John 14:23, because that's the prime New Testament verse on tabernacles. And I hope you have it memorized by now. John 14:23. This is This is the climactic experience of the Christian life. There's nothing beyond this except service and joy and blessing and everything. This is what Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. This is the Omega. This is the Omega. There are seven feasts. This is number seven. This is it. This is the fullness. This is what we're headed. After Pentecost, we go through the things we have on the board. We're heading toward this wonderful coming to dwell in us. Now, John 14:23 has it. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, it's always individual. We can do things as a group till we get up to these last feasts of the Lord. And then, I tell you, it divides husband and wife and brother and sister. Not in a bad sense, but in the sense that you can't come on God as a group. But there's a time when God, you have to answer alone to God. If any man, this house cleaning of the Day of Atonement is a highly individualized business because your sins are not mine. My hang-ups are not yours. God has to deal with each one of us. Sanctification is a peculiar business. And that's the danger of when we testify, it inspires us. But God will deal with you as an individual. Praise the Lord. And what God will deal with me sternly on, He'll overlook in you and vice versa. Sanctification, the bronze laver, the only thing, the bronze laver has no directions on carrying it because it represents sanctification and it's unique to each individual. So a lot of things we can do in common, but when we get down here to this business, it's any man, you and you alone. Love me, he will keep my words. See, this is a Christian's going along, not like the rank and file, but he's really taking what the Lord says seriously. And when God sees that, the love of God toward that individual grows. When God sees that you're trying to do what Jesus said, you're not just playing a religious game, but you're really trying to do what Jesus said, you will grow in God's love. My Father will love him. He looks to see who's doing what. He loves us all in a general way. But you remember James says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. See, you can, and they that use the office of a bishop well, purchase for themselves boldness in the faith. So you can grow in the love of God. Let's put it that way. God's love towards you as he sees you trying to do what Jesus said. And this is the promise. We, that is the Father and the Son. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is never confused as to identity. We, the Father and the Son, God Almighty, and Jesus, these two, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And that is an eternal work. Once you get into that, you're a pillar in the temple of God. This is the place of eternal security. There is a place of eternal security in the Scripture. It's found in Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. There comes a place where you cannot go out. It isn't that you can't be tempted. That isn't the point. Or the devil still isn't in the world, or you're some super saint. That isn't the point. The point is simply that you have passed a place of no return. You have covenanted with God to the place that there's no backing out. Backing out is inconceivable. It's just inconceivable. The moment you tried to, you would be in such distress of spirit, you wouldn't know whether you were afoot or horseback. Eh? Waters to swim in. You see, when you're in waters to your ankles, you can dip in and dip out, can't you? You ever do that in the surf? You can dip in, dip out. When you get in a knee deep, it's a little more entrancing. Now, when you get out to this, up to your thighs, you begin to lose mobility. But when you get in waters over your head, and waters to swim in, you are at the mercy of the water. And that's that kind of a thing. And as we press forward, there comes a time when God finally says, that's it, he shall go no more out. And you can't go out and sin then, and God will save you. The point is that you're in the hand of God to the place that you would be in such torment if you thought of backing out of God that you think better of it. Praise the Lord. He shall go no more out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Bless God! There comes a time when God says He's there! He isn't Jesus the Alpha and then dribble on forever. There's only so many letters in the alphabet. And when you come to the end, brother, that's the end. He begins your salvation and he finishes it. And bless God, if he's able to begin it, he's able to finish it. And you can say, thank God he did it. And God will say, I did it. And there you are. Hooked forever. All right, now we turn to Isaiah 12. And we find what they were chanting about. Isaiah 12 is the Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah 12. Now this is what they were chanting when Jesus bellowed out, if any man believes on me, this is what they were all singing. Isaiah 12. This is the Song of Tabernacles. And it starts off in that day. Now John, the Gospel, is peculiarly describes the Feast of Tabernacles, particularly chapters 14 through 17 of John are just talking about one thing, the Feast of Tabernacles, abiding in Christ. And, of course, it starts off, in my Father's house are many mansions. It's not talking about big houses in the spiritual realm. It's talking about the house or the tabernacle of God. And in what Jesus is saying is in the dwelling place of God, there's room for everybody. That's all he's saying. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the Father's house, the tabernacle of God. And so you'll notice that John, and you'll see it in the 14th chapter, uses that expression, in that day. Now Isaiah uses this expression, and John uses that expression. And that day is the day of the Lord. And it comes to us as an individual in tabernacles. The day when Jesus rules. So in that day is the day that you finally are reconciled to God. You put away through the Holy Spirit your sin. You let God deal with your self-seeking through the cross. You make up your mind for eternity that you belong to the Lord and He belongs to you. That's that day. That's the day. And you can't really sing this song before that day, but you can sing at it. You can kind of gum it through. And that's a lot better than not doing it at all. You know, we all know Galatians 2:20. I've known that since I've been a Christian, I guess, for 2 weeks. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So that's tabernacles. And so we can kind of gum at it and say, I believe it. But brother, that's not a doctrine. That's an experience. That's an experience. That's tabernacles. That's in that day. I'm not living anymore. Paul says, forget it. Oh, Paul is gone. This is a new man you're looking at. Jesus is living in me. It's not me living anymore. Can you say that? Well, kind of. All right, we're getting there. Let's put it that way. Oh, Lord, I will praise thee. Now, that is the most characteristic thing that when we were talking about this morning about the churches of Asia and how quickly we get into things other than praising God. If this church, this Christian Life Fellowship, when you go out of here and you're describing the church and you're talking about something other than the Lord, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm not preaching right. The thing that should come across in the gospel is Jesus Christ. Not a peculiarity. Now, like, that's the church, they all do this. That's the church, they all do that. That's the church, they all do. They all wave their hanky or some other thing. We all have these little things that we do, but none of them are the emphasis. When we get through with a service, we should have one thing left. Oh, Jesus! Then you know you're not in a cult. Then you know you're not in a cult. When you gotta get out your book of your cult and brainwash people for 3 hours till they understand what you're after, you're in the wrong business. Praise the Lord! When all said and done, all we're doing is saying that Jesus is supreme And when we get through the complexities of this business, all it'll be is just Jesus and you, and all the rest of the church stuff will drop away like scaffolding. How many remember the first radios? Phil, do you remember the first radios when they come out? You're a youngster. Well, I can remember. We got a Zenith. It must have been 1934, something like that. And radios had not been available generally at that time. And, of course, being a youngster, I was more interested in looking at the back than I was in listening to what came out of it. Although I used to listen, as I told you, to the fights. That was big. And Buck Rogers and the Lone Ranger. But what was really interesting was the spaghetti in the back. I tell you, that thing was a marvel to behold. Why, there was wire sticking out of that thing. It looked like a hurricane in a hairpin factory. Really. It was just unbelievably complex. And now, what do you got? You take apart a new radio. All you've got is a little board with some solder on it. There's no wires or anything. It's a marvel the thing works. But it works just as good as that Zenith. And I tell you, it is not 1/100th of the size. Now, what happened there was, it moved from complexity to simplicity. The complex stage was necessary because they didn't know where everything went. Now they know where everything goes, so they just string around a little solder and that's it. The electrons hop around where they're supposed to and that's all you need. You don't need all this other stuff. And that's the way it is with the church. I mean, it gets so complex we do not know what we're doing. Did you ever get in that place? Jesus, what are you telling me anyway? Anybody ever get there? Am I supposed to run or walk or minister or rest or do nothing or do everything or save the world or pray? What am I supposed to do? And you know, when we get all finished with this thing, all we'll be doing is just walking arm in arm with Jesus and saying, isn't this sweet fellowship? And all the complexity will be at an end. Praise the Lord. Say, I want to take a shortcut and go to that now. Well, that'd be nice. The problem is we ourselves are so messed up inside that as soon as we try to do that, something goes wrong. We start trying to build tabernacles. We can't just walk with Jesus. Because we say, surely it can't be that easy. And so we spend another 10 years spinning out all of our confusion. But when we get all through, the Lord says, well, are you tired yet? And have you done it enough yet, your religious thing? No, give me 10 more years, Lord. I'm not yet satisfied. It's that easy. Well, all right, I've got the time. And by the time we're so tired and disgusted, Lord, are you ready yet? Yeah, I'm ready, Lord. Anything's better than what I'm doing. Well, you don't have to do anything, really. Just take it easy. I'm the one that does it all. All you got to do is just do a couple of simple things that I tell you to do. Our health comes back, our vitality comes back, and guess what? We're raring to go! Let me at 'em, boy! I got an idea. So where we go? So in that day, when you're sick of this, you say, oh Lord, I will praise thee. Jesus is central in tabernacles. Though thou wast angry with me. Now, has the Lord ever been angry with you? We don't like to admit it. It's hard for him to be angry at Israel and everybody else. But not me. Those sinners, you know, somewhere else, but not me. The Lord is angry with every one of us when he starts. That's why we get beat about the head so much. Now, you may not like to think that's the reason, but it is. You see, it says, cry unto Jerusalem that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. And so, Phil, we get beat around the head. That's just the best way to put it, until we learn court manners. We like to think we're spiritual and that God loves us and we're some kind of a precious pet, but we're not. And the Lord just lets environment and the devil and angels and everything else have at us. Or are you living in a bed of ease? How many here have got it so easy, no problems? Yeah? No work, not a thing. Everything is hunky-dory. Yeah? Well, do you know what that is? That's your warfare. And until you go through it, if you're one of the sweet ones that always looks sweet, I hope your warfare starts pretty soon. It's terrible to feel so bad and look around when everybody's sweet. I like to feel rotten and people come and say, cheer up! You could throw them out bodily. Really, you don't need that. What you need is somebody that feels worse than you do. Then you can get up and comfort them. It's not hard to find somebody like that. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You know, in Hosea it says, he wounds us, and he binds us up. And honestly, it's worth getting wounded to have the Lord bind you up. It really is. It's worth getting wounded because that binding up process is marvelous. And you know, there's something in human nature that we do not appreciate things until we lose them. Do you know that? And so the Lord has a way of coming and brings us into such a place. Well, we've been happy, you know, but we didn't realize it. You can always find something to complain about. So the Lord comes and he really gives us something to complain about. And after we've bellyached around and learned quite a few things, he puts it back together and, oh, it feels so good. And we really appreciate it. That ever happened to you? Well, a couple have happened to. Thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. In tabernacles, the Lord comforteth. He says, he begins to explain. Remember it says, when that which is perfect is come, which is tabernacles, he says, then shall I know as I am known. How many of you like now would like to know why it is what's happening to you is happening? Would you like to know that? Someday the Lord will tell you. He'll tell you, say, this is why that happened, and this is why that, and he, listen, what a memory he's got. Every detail. And you remember how you walked there? Well, that was the reason for that thing. I felt worse than you did, but you had to go through it. And all the things, you say, well, God really loves me after all. It really was necessary. Every last problem. The Lord knows everyone. And he will explain it all to you if you've got the time. Praise the Lord. Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, this is probably the most crucial or essential statement. Now, prior to this, God saves us. God heals us. God answers our prayers. But there comes a transition within us, and when it happens, you'll know it. You'll begin to feel it coming on you, where you begin to lose the power to deal with God. Prior to this time, God lets us deal with him. And it's all right at a season. We're taught early in life, well, if you fast and pray, this will happen. If you do this, the next thing will happen. And it does, because God is using that to get us into what he's after, which is his dwelling place. But there comes, after Pentecost, a switch in your spirit. And I'm telling you, you can't control it. You can go back and fight for your power to contract with God, but it won't be real. And unless you insist on it, God will bring you into a better place. It's really kind of hard to put in words, except that no longer is God saving you, but he becomes your salvation. You don't sit down and say, now how will I serve God today? There is a constant weight, a constant pressure A constant awareness, a constant presence that increases every day until you feel like you're in the hand of God. And when God wants you to pray, the prayer comes. When God wants you to witness, the witness comes. When God wants you to be strong, the strength comes. And of course we fight this because we're used to, like when we're weak, we've got our cues, we've got our formulas that which we use to get on top of the thing. And God lets that go for a season, but He wants to overpower us. Now this is a trepidatious place. This is not safe. And that's why we need a strong assembling. We need strong teaching because you can get off. You can get into passivity. Oh, I won't go anywhere unless the Lord leads me. I feel my third finger of my left hand feels warm. That means I'm supposed to turn this way. We get into this kind of stuff. And trying to get into the rest of God. You can get into religious delusion. You can get into spirits of aggrandizement. You can get into more trouble than you ever heard of. It's a treacherous way. Make a plain path for me because of mine enemies. There's one right way. And it takes the whole body of Christ. None of us really is invulnerable. And if we're going to hit this thing right, we all need the help and the counsel and the prayers of one another. Because you can't see yourself going off, but other people can see it in a second. And if you stay humble, you listen to them. And I'm not excluding myself whatsoever. I'll listen to anybody in the house. Because I'm not that sure what's going on. Because it's a treacherous way. Because you're trying to keep from being in passivity. You have the sense of God, and yet you're not positive, and He's leading, and you're past the place where you can back off and get a hold of it and open up your new charismatic book and start off on some new caper. You're past that. You're in the hands of God. And it's wonderful and fearful and tremendous and overpowering. Some never make it because they cannot relinquish their grasp on God. They cannot do it. And in this experience, God shakes your hand loose. And He grasps you. Praise the Lord. And the key word is trust. You see, when you have faith, you are in control. But when you have trust, God is in control. There's a difference. Faith is militant. Faith is the victory. When you've got faith, you've got a hold of it. When God gets a hold of you, you've got to believe, because sometimes you don't do the thing, well, you just think there ought to be more action around here. And you just got to believe that God knows what He's doing. It's a place of perfect rest, but it's hard for a religious enthusiast to rest. Pretty soon our brain gets working. You know, where's God? I better stir up my embers. Huh? Blow on the fire, it's going out. And it may be. That's why we kind of, we're cold thinking that God's moving. And just when you get all flopped out and in the rest, God says, well, why aren't you doing something? Well, I thought I was supposed to be resting. Well, you are. He says in Isaiah, rise up and sit down. And that's it in a nutshell. You don't know whether to stand or sit. And the thing is that God has you in His mercy that way. He has to get past this thinking machine up here until you learn God. And you know, John in the first epistle says it in a nutshell, but boy, it's the mark of maturity. We have come to know and to trust the love which God has in us. Brother, that's maturity. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And boy, this is something when you're walking through the valley of the shadow and there's no feeling from God. You say, God, are you really sure you mean what you say? I remember Brother Fullerton, who was in the rest of God, if man ever was, saying, if this Bible is wrong, I have had it. And the further you get in Tabernacles, the more you appreciate that. Boy, if this thing is wrong, I am in big trouble. But you see, the way Tabernacles works is God doesn't talk to you all the time. You know when He talks to you? when you get off. See, if you go to the right hand or to the left, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. But when you're in the way, you don't hear anything. There's just that constant presence. I will trust and not be afraid in that day. Praise the Lord. Are you game? Well, tonight, yes. All right. For the Lord Jehovah, it's all capitals in the King James because he wants to get the point across. Jehovah means I can. It is forever. It's God's house forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Thank God. You remember the wheel in the middle of a wheel? That's the chariot of God. That's what we're being made, is the chariot of God. So we can run and return like the appearance of a flash of lightning. There's God and Christ and us and Christ and God. God is in Christ who is in us, and we are in Christ who is in God. That's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And that's what God is making. The chariots of God. The place where God can move out, the chariots of God. And there's angels all over the place, the Feast of Tabernacles. And as we get into the end time, we're going to see more and more the ministry of angels. Praise the Lord. More and more, Eddie, the ministry of angels. Because they're, you see, they are serving as servants to the heirs of salvation. And they're mightier than we are and wiser than we are. But they have to recognize that God's sons are the heirs of salvation. Praise the Lord. And it is their joy to minister to us. So as we become closer and closer to the fullness of tabernacles, the angels will become more and more prominent, and pretty soon it won't be nothing at all to see an angel. They're going to be prominent in the end time. The servants of God, and also the devil's going to come out of hiding. The days of atheism will be all over in that day. The day of atheism, listen. The day of atheism is coming to a close. Satan is going to reveal himself. And by the time Jesus comes, men will know that there's a God and that they will know that Christ is his son, and they will put their armies against him, knowing who he is, trying to drive him back into the spiritual realm. That is the length of wickedness that is coming. See, today, people can say, oh, I don't believe there is a God. Not in the days that are coming. They will know that Jesus is the Son of God, and they will still try to drive him back into the spiritual realm. How's that for wickedness? That day is coming when men will know who Christ and God are and shake their fist at God and say, you will not tell us what to do, knowing that. The days of atheism are at hand. Satan's use of that is pretty near over. He's got different tactics. And he's going to come and let men know that he's real and that they're to worship him. And they will. Because he will offer them their lust and their other things that they want. Praise the Lord. So we will have help from the holy angels in that day. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. And now we come to the passage that Paul quoted in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Thou hast ascended on high. Who is that? Jesus, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, or gifts consisting of men. What are those gifts? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, pastor teachers and evangelists. Yea, for the rebellious also. That is, God even uses rebellious people in the ministry. He uses whom he will, and he takes these people. And look at the purpose of the ministry, that the Lord God might, what? Dwell among them. Does anybody have a different translation? It's more clear in other translations. Anybody have a different translation there? Anybody have a Rotherham? What does the Amplified say? Anybody have an Amplified? Well, what it is, as I remember, Rotherham reads it like this, that Yah Elohim, that is God Almighty, might settle down to rest. And so the body of Christ is being built for a temple of God. That's why we must come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, because God dwells in Christ. And all the churches and all the organizations and all the things can leap. They're the high hills leaping, and it doesn't mean a thing. God is just building one thing. He's building the body of Christ. And right now we're at the stage where the Lord has come to the body of Christ, wherever it's located, to cleanse, to reconcile to God. When he gets that finished to the level that he wants, Christ will speak to his church, and through the glory that's coming and the tribulation that's coming, he will separate her from Babel. Separate her from Babylon, the great harlot, the great church system, and the bride will come out, and God and Christ will enter into the bride. And that's where you find that in Joel the 3rd chapter and Isaiah the 42nd chapter. At that day will be at the height of the reign of Antichrist. And then will God in Christ, in this saying, you read this in Joel 3 verse 16, I believe it is, God will roar out of Zion. He will roar out of Zion. He will be in you. And here you will be a little persecuted remnant, and Antichrist ruling over the earth, and God and Christ will come into the saints, and the tables will be turned on Antichrist, and God will roar out of the church. The Lord shall roar out of Zion. Joel 3:16, I believe it is. Isaiah chapter 42. God will roar out of the church, and the nations of the earth will be astonished at the revelation of the power of God. That's Isaiah 60. Right in the middle of the darkness, the light of God shall come into the church. And then, when there's complete consternation and everything, they'll look up and see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And men will scream for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They'll be facing Christ in the church, and Christ coming in the clouds of glory. That's how the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be brought into fruition in our lives. And we're close to that, and that's why God is dealing with us now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's better than escaping by a rapture, isn't it? Escaping by a rapture means that we're weak and we can't do anything. What kind of a gospel is that? That's no gospel. That's a record of defeat. Antichrist is so great that he's got to get out this marshmallow bride before she falls to pieces. That's no gospel. That's bad news if I ever heard it. Hallelujah! God is our salvation. Then he doesn't have to take us out of anything. He's coming into us, and he's going to overcome through us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And let the forces of hell take note. God is greater. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says he will come into the church and roar out of Zion. And then will the enemies of God turn and flee for their very lives. But there'll be no place to go, because the light of God from the saints will illumine every hiding place. And Christ shall come, and this great light will be caught up to him as the lightning that shines from the east to the west. For when he appears in glory, we shall be glorified together with him. Hallelujah. And that's Joel's army. And when it marches, praise God, the birds will be filled with their flesh of the nations. You see, that's the thing that David threatened Goliath with. Goliath come out talking great stuff. And David said, I will give your hide to the fowls of the air. And we find in Revelation 19 that God heard that, because he hears everything his spirit-filled people say, and he makes it law. What he does, we're all the time affecting the kingdom. The righteous that are filled by the Spirit are all the time affecting the kingdom. And David said that, and God wrote it in his book and said, that's great. So it appears in Revelation 19. What's going to happen to this great Goliath when this David of God comes against it? This says the fowls of the air are going to be filled with their flesh. Praise the Lord. So much for Antichrist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord, we glory
in your name, Lord. We say, let God be exalted. Let his enemies tremble in his presence. We say that God will do great things. We say that God is on the throne. That God will shake his fist. That God will give us wisdom. Hallelujah. And we'll build the church. We say that God will lead us in ministry and give us signs and mighty wonders. We say that God will sanctify us wholly and heal us and become our health and our healing and become our strength and become our song and become our joy. We say that God will do all these things. And Father, we doubt not. We trust in you, Lord. We've come to know and to trust the love which God has in us. Father, we do not understand many times, but we know that that's part of the transformation from our thinking to the mind of Christ. Oh, God, help us to trust and trust correctly, Lord, in you. Hallelujah. That we may walk, Lord. You may walk in this earth in us, live in us, dwell in us, Lord. Oh, we want to be filled with God. Oh, hallelujah. We want to be filled with God. Filled with God. Filled with God. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Son. Filled with the Father. Filled with the life of God. Till we can't think of anything but God. God, God, God in all our thoughts. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, you see where we are, Lord. Move us further. Fill us further. Reconcile us further. Hallelujah. Lord, salvation is of the Lord. Thou shalt wound the hairy scalp of thine enemies, Lord. But thy good hand is upon thy servants, Lord. Hallelujah, that we might awaken thy likeness. Oh, God, hallelujah. Lord, thy salvation, we love thy courts, Lord. We love thy gates. Oh, God, hallelujah. Thou art better. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 years. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Avaraka handalala vakaha siri aravahaya. Avaraka handalala vakaha siri. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Just pray with me for a few minutes, saints, until we'll just pray for a couple of minutes. There's a burden. I feel a burden. I wonder how many feel that burden. There's a burden on the church tonight. I can feel it in my spirit. I don't understand it, but I trust in God. Oh, let's carry that burden together. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we want your will above everything, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, we want your will above everything, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, you're so wonderful, so wonderful. Oh, God, you're so wonderful, Lord. What is it that you want, Lord? What do you want with us as individuals, Lord? Where is it that you're taking us, Lord? Oh, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, reveal unto thy servants thy good will, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Create your will in us, Lord. Create your will in us, O God. Lord, we want nothing but your will, Lord. Hallelujah. O God. Awaken many, Lord, in the midnight hours, I pray. Hallelujah. Keep it on us, Lord, until it's prayed through, I pray. Keep it on us, Lord, until it's prayed through, Lord, to the last molecule, Lord. Keep it on us, Lord, till it's perfectly prayed through. Lord, we would not miss thy perfect will. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to play church games, Lord. We want to be your living witness, Lord, your chariot. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, answer prayer, Lord. Answer prayer, answer prayer, answer prayer, answer prayer. Iliyara bahandara bahaya bahaya. Oh God, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thy will be done, Jesus. Thy will be done, Lord. Cause your will to be done. Oh God, create thy will in us, Lord. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. God, leave it on us, Lord, until it's prayed through, I pray. Oh, God, perfectly prayed through. Every aspect, every dimension, Lord. We live to do your will, Lord. We live, we rejoice, we joy, Lord, in whatever you want. Oh, God, grant for each one of us in this church, Lord, that we'll know your will and we'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your will is so precious to us, Lord. It's so wonderful. It's so holy. It's so pure. Oh, God, make your will known to each one of us, Lord, that we may do it with joy, with peace, Lord, with praise unto thee. Oh, God. Lord, we'd rather do your will than anything in this world. We don't care what it is, Lord. We know it's wonderful. Wonderful. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes before we even know what it is, Lord. We say yes. We say yes, Lord. Yes to you. Yes to you. We trust you. We've come to know and to trust the love which God has in us. We love you, Jesus. We trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Stand tall, saints. Mount Zion is watching. Be ready to stand for your Maker.
Amen.
He needs you tonight. Don't turn away. He is with you all the time.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
God. Amen. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. Help us to walk in the sight of Zion, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. We know we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Help us to do the will of God. Lord, we just praise you for that confirmation, Lord. We know you're with us. Help us, Lord, to just stay right on the target, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, God, every one of us, Lord, every one of us. Right in your perfect will. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask Les and Cher, if they will, to stand in the middle about halfway down the church there. They're going to be going out more and more to minister. I thought maybe tonight we could lay hands on them again because they're going to be involved in different ministries and so on. So if you in the middle of the aisle about halfway down the church, and those that want to gather around, this couple has quite an anointing on them that God is going to be using them. So we want the Lord's will. Just gather right. Let's gather right around. Lay hands on them. They have a strong call on their life. God's will will be done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Oh. 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 Yes, Lord. Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this cup of water. We thank you for the burden that's upon us. Hallelujah. For the anointing of us that is on the lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Make clear to them your way, your path, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Anoint this step, Lord. Anoint this step, Lord. Oh, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let the anointing of the Son of God. Let your gifts and miracles, Lord. Hallelujah, mindful power, mighty signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah, Lord, guide them, Lord, in every step, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, that they may be your vessels, Lord, your servants going forth in the land, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, proclaim to our nation, Lord. Oh, God, that they might have a clear testimony. Put your angel round about, Lord, that they respect the law, Lord. Supply every need, Lord. Cause them to hear a voice. This is the way you walk the air, Lord. This is that, Lord, day and night with thy spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, be with them, Lord, be with them, Master, they may know you personally, you will appear to them, Lord, you will show them, lead them by the hand, Lord, with your precious nail-scarred hands. Lord, that when they lay hands on people, Lord, you will be laid on them. Hallelujah. When they speak and sing, Lord, you will be speaking and singing, Lord. Oh, Jesus, reveal yourself in them, Lord. To them and in them. Oh, God, our land is so deep. Lord, our land is naked. It is filthy, Lord. It is corrupt. It is immature, Lord, as children, not knowing one thing or another. But, Lord, we know there are some, Lord, who will hear, because there are messengers. There are many, Lord, who will turn to the living God. We know that, Lord, in the United States of America, a godly remnant, Lord, you know where they are. You know who they are. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that your spirit will go before this man's servant. And it will seek out, Lord, these, Lord, that you have chosen, Lord, in every city, to stand for God and to work righteousness in our nation. Oh, God, we can provide, Lord, of mighty power, Lord, of anointing, of glory, of salvation. Lord, keep them from every temptation, every wickedness. Keep them. Lord, they may bear fruit. A burning and shining light. I pray they'll bear with the spirit of repentance, Lord. And it will come on the people that hear them, Lord. And they will repent of their sins. They will fall on their faces. They will cry out to God. And we meet with the porch of the altar, Lord. Grant, Lord, that they may bear a spirit of repentance in their spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. The people will be moved by the Holy Ghost and to cry out to God. Jesus! Jesus! Have mercy on our nation. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Leave us in charity, just those right places, just those places, and they walk, Lord, in simplicity with Jesus.
Lord, just following you, Lord, as your children, Lord. Instead of the Lord work with them, just proving the word as signs, Father. Don't let them go alone, Lord. You walk with them, Lord. You walk with them as they firm the word as signs, Father. Oh, God, that we who are Americans may rejoice, Lord. May rejoice at a revival of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I know that they will never lose their minds since, Lord, as members of the body of Christ. I know that you can trust them with the fullness of your glory. Hallelujah, that they will not preach to be settled with Jesus Christ. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, we're so needy, Lord, we're so needy, we're so needy. We're so needy, we're so needy, we're so needy, oh God. Lord, our greatest joy would be if you would use Wesley and Jerry in this way and speak to our nation in clear and simple terms, Lord. Turn us from your wickedness. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God, from coast to coast, from the east coast to the west coast, from Canada to Mexico, every city, every county, every state, I pray, will feel a revival, feel an impact, Lord. Oh God, oh God, that which you have put in our hearts, Lord, I pray that every grain of the Lord will be developed. To become more and more in the fullness of the weakness. Nothing will stop you. Nothing. 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 No power on earth or on the earth. Your mighty guardian spirit will preserve this voice, Lord, this ministry. Pray, Lord. Pray, Lord. Pray.
Look unto me and come before me, and your time will be.
I will direct you, and I will give you the words of life that others need.
Thank you.